In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you ever go to yard sales or garage sales or estate sales? What is the best bargain you have ever found, the best deal you ever had? Did you ever find something that was really of value, or perhaps something that you really needed, something that was just the right thing at the right moment? Melanie and I used to go to a lot of yard and estate sales. Once I found a hand-colored etching from Salvador Dali that was also signed by him. This wasn't a print. This wasn't a facsimile signature. This was the real McCoy with the original certificate of authenticity. I didn't know what it was worth. I paid 10 bucks for it. I figured the frame had to be at least worth that much. This week, I looked up similar items online, and they sell for about $400. That's 40 times what I paid for it. But that was our second best deal. Melanie's hobby is machine knitting. There are no knitting machines made in the United States anymore, and only a handful in Europe and in Japan. Machines are very hard to find new, and a used machine will cost $1,000 or more. People in the machine knitting community know that the best way to buy machines is to go to estate sales, where the people that inherit them don't have any use for them and sell them very inexpensively. To them, they're just junk that they would normally throw away. Long story short, at an estate sale, we got a couple $1,000s worth of knitting equipment for just a few $1,000s. Few hundred dollars, I'm sorry. You might describe those as lopsided bargains. Was that good business acumen, or was that something unfair? There's an old saying, if the buyer and the seller both walk away happy, then it was a good deal. Do you agree with that? Hold on to that thought. We'll come back to it later. For several weeks, we've been reading the parables that Jesus told, and today I'd like to focus especially on the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. To recap, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all he had and bought it. There are some similarities between the two stories. Both involve a search. The man and the merchant are not merely passive, they're active. They're looking for something. The object they find isn't something they made or even earned, but it's worth a lot. It's the most important thing in the world to them. To take possession of that valued item, they had to sell everything they own and buy it. That's risky, but they have to go all in to get the prize, and they do it willingly. What does Jesus' parable mean? He tells us plainly that the treasure and the pearl represent the kingdom of God. But could it also be that the search and the sacrifice made for the desired object are also part of the kingdom? I believe so. The process, the journey, the sacrifice are all part of it. Eternal life with Christ in the Father's kingdom in the world to come is our ultimate goal, the destiny of the baptized believer. But Christ also gives us abundant life in this world day by day. For the believer, Christ is with us, And in some ways, the kingdom has already begun and will be brought to completion in the world to come. Implied in the parables is that not everyone will find the treasure or the magnificent pearl. Maybe not everyone seeks the kingdom. Some people just don't seem to care at all about the things of God, and I'm sure you know people like that. We who know the Lord can't imagine living that way, but some people just don't get it. Maybe some people go through the motions of looking for the kingdom, but their efforts are only half-hearted. It's all a game, a show, a ruse. But what about those blessed ones who stumble onto the treasure and blunder their way to the pearl? That's us. What do we do? Decisive, immediate action is required. There can be no hesitation, no holding back. Today is always the day of salvation. To trot out some old sayings that apply in this case, this is not the time to look before you leap. This is the time to strike while the iron is hot, because he who hesitates is lost. So what do these parables say then about our lives and the kingdom of God? The first questions it raises for me are, is God's kingdom our treasure, our personal top priority, what our life is all about? Or is there something else more important to us? Are there prayer and praise in our mouths and hearts every day? Does God's word guide our thinking and decisions, or are other thoughts and ideas driving us? We know God must be number one in our lives. Our Christian faith is not just limited to 1 hour on Sunday morning. The Holy Spirit wants to transform our hearts and minds, and we can resist him, although we most certainly should not. These parables also raise the question about who receives the kingdom. Are the people being saved many or few? Jesus tells us that the path to heaven is narrow, and that not everyone who says to him, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom. Not to make light of God's judgment, and certainly not to say that our theology should come from internet memes or from classic rock songs. But I saw something on Facebook the other day that really struck me. It said that there's a highway to hell, but only a stairway to heaven says something about expected traffic patterns. That's not in the Bible, but it's true. Well, if we found the treasure and the pearl that God put there before us and called us to, how do we live our lives? We worship, we serve, we love. To bring out another old cliche, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, because you are the people who attend and participate and serve. Yet we know that in any church, there are many members whose names are on the rolls, who don't worship, who don't serve, who are members in name only. I call them MINOS, M-I-N-O-S. That's my acronym for members in name only. If we see someone backsliding, God calls us to reach out to the MINOS and lead them back to the treasure, the pearl, the kingdom, to call them back into the Lord's school, his boat, the church. What else does it mean for us to live in the kingdom? It doesn't mean living amongst life, withdrawn from the world, being so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Luther tried that, and he found it lacking. A genuine Christian life is life thoroughly lived in the world, inspired and animated by the gospel. It doesn't mean we have to stand on a busy street corner and shout, "Jesus loves you," through a bullhorn. Where we used to live, there was a group who did that every Saturday morning. I think they did more to hurt churches than they did to help them. I feared that they were calling attention to themselves and not to Christ, and we know it's all about Jesus. So what do Christians do? They raise children, or they care for other people's children, teaching them to know and love the Lord. Christians care for the sick and the elderly because it's the right, loving, Christ-like thing to do. They support their church with their time, talent, and treasure. Going all in for the kingdom doesn't have to be loud and dramatic. It just means living every moment informed and motivated by God's love, by the grace that saved you. And how were you saved? It was the greatest deal, the biggest bargain in history, and by far the most lopsided. In this deal, Jesus took your sin and gave you his righteousness. Jesus traded his death for your life. Doesn't seem fair. It's not fair at all. But know what? From that deal that Jesus made on the cross, he walked away happy, and you walk away happy too. As much as I enjoyed bargain hunting at those estate sales, they always left me feeling a little sad. There was a person's possessions, the thing they worked for and sacrificed for their whole lives, the things that they cherished. There was the sum total of a person's life being sold for pennies on the dollar. If you need evidence that the things of this world are fleeting, temporary, ephemeral, there it is. But our possessions are not really the sum total of our lives. Treasure chests, pearls, Dali etchings, knitting machines, whatever, all of it will fade away. Only God and his word will last forever. The kingdom is what's really important. What's really important is that we are the people of God. What's important are that we are citizens of the kingdom. That is so important. Jesus gave his life for it. Thanks be to God that he gives us the treasure of word and sacrament to comfort and guide us in this life. Thanks be to God that he has given us a pearl of a promise of everlasting life beyond the pearly gates of the New Jerusalem in the life to come. And thanks be to God for the greatest bargain ever, the biggest lopsided deal in history. As worthless as we are, Christ purchased us with his very own precious blood. When we walk away from this place today, someday when we walk away from this life, walk away happy. You got the biggest deal of all eternity. Amen.